What's up, everybody? Welcome to a WNBA State of Mind, where we mainly discuss basketball, what we love, other sports. Today, we're going to have some conversation with one of my dear teammates, okay, in Utah, the WNBA, Utah Stars, Miss Danielle Fontenot. I got to say congrats straight out the box. You've been appointed the executive director for the Las Vegas Aces Foundation. But before we go into it, okay, let's talk about your early years as a baller down in Central Texas.
Let's talk about it, Goody. Look, yeah. I'm just happy that I'm here with my coffee, my PJs on my patio, having conversations with my girls. So this is good stuff for me from my heart. So
yeah,
basketball. And you at Baylor and good old Waco.
Now, before we even got to Baylor, you know, you're a young kid kicking it around in Texas, and you know, you're hooping it up from, you know, your early years. I mean, I was a PAL kid, so that was the basketball league for us to help us grow. You know, I don't know if you came through the Boys and Girls Club or you did the YMCA as you came out, and then you go into high school. Talk about that. And, you know, who were your influencers then?
It's a wild situation because I didn't play basketball. You know, like how some people are like, yeah, I started playing basketball when I was three. I had a basketball in my hand. Yeah, that was not me. I was always just an awkward kid and I happened to be tall. What I wanted to do was a lot of things in the arts, like dance, and I wanted to model and be on TV and all that stuff. And I went to a magnet school, which is a school that provides dance, different extracurricular activities for their students. And so I went there because of all the things that they had, like acting and dance and drama, all the stuff that I could do. And when I went there, I actually played basketball. So I did not pick up a basketball until I was like in the sixth, seventh grade, which is considered, you know, late if you think about like someone wanting to play professionally. But that's where I first started playing basketball in my middle school in Fifth Ward in Houston. And I didn't know anything about it. And I just happened to be good at it. And so I literally did everything, Goody, in middle school. I was a cheerleader. I did dance, drama. I ran track. And I did basketball and volleyball. So I kept my parents busy. So I was that child that just had, you know, wanted to be in activities. But I saw that basketball was something that I started to be good at. And then I kept growing. Like, I thought I was going to be like regular height. I was like 5'10 in middle school. I was taller than my mom and dad by the eighth grade.
Wow.
Yes. And so I ended up going to North Shore High School in Houston. And then that's where I really started to concentrate just on basketball, track, and volleyball. And by my junior year, I knew I needed to make a decision because I was being recruited. And I was like, okay, my junior, senior year, I'm gonna just do basketball. And in the ninth grade is when I started to do AAU basketball. So I never played at the Y or in at like the Boys and Girls Club and things like that. I really was just that girl that played in the yard with her cousins and just put up shots on a makeshift basketball, like the one that don't have no net, just a rim. And so I would be in the driveway with my dad or cousins playing ball in that type of way. And ninth grade is when I actually started to play organized ball outside of high school. So thank you to AAU basketball is where I really started to get exposure and play against other talents in Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's just a golden nugget, you know, for you know, for me to know too, as well. You know, you're with people and we really don't get to know everything about each other, you know, so that's a great story. And that leads right into the next question, which I was going to ask you. You know, Baylor was a great choice for you as a school because now if you look at the player portal and how people are shifting back and forth, you know, you're fortunate if you go to school nowadays, if you go to a school and then you stay there for those 4 years. And so talk about that experience in, you know, All-American, Hall of Famer, playing for Duke.
You know what? And this is it funny because I always, I literally say to people that I did not want to go to Baylor. I was being recruited, and I was surprised at how much I was being recruited, and I had a lot of options, which was a big blessing. But you know, it's like it doesn't. You know how other people can see you with talent, but you don't know you have that talent. And so people were like, "Yeah, you balling." Like, you know, my family like, "Man, she's about to go. So she getting recruited. She's this." And I'm like, in my head, I'm looking at everybody else that's wonderful and good and not really myself. And so I end up going to Baylor, and Baylor was the choice because my high school coach was really good friends with the coach that was there at the time, Sonia Hogue. And, you know, and I appreciated what I learned from her while I was there. And, but my first 2 years at Baylor, my God, we were one of the worst teams record-wise in the Big 12. So my sophomore year, our record, we were won 7 games and only 2 conference games. So we were 7-20. That's how we ended the season. We lost 20 games in one season. And I was like, oh my God. And I knew I wanted more and I wanted to be a better player. And I knew I had potential in me, but I just wasn't, you know, I could tell that I wasn't learning what I needed to do to be better. And so I went and spoke with the athletic director. I was terrified because I told my dad, I was like, I'm leaving. I'm going to leave. I'm taking me and my basketball going somewhere else. I was like, I can't do it here. And he was like, we don't quit. He was like, we're not quitting. He said, you want to do something and something needs to change with the program. You're going to have to go talk to somebody. Well, you're telling a thing, maybe like 19-year-old from the hood to go up to offices and talk to athletic directors and different things like this. And I'm like, I don't think I could do that. But I did. And that's how we ended up with Kim Mulkey, because I was just saying there were some changes that needed to happen. And I realized that those changes that they were saying needed to happen, that came about was the change of the coaching staff. And that's how I ended up playing with under Kim Mulkey. And then the rest is history. So it's funny you say Hall of Famer, All-American. I was literally not going to be any of those things from what I saw based on where the program was at that time. And so being able to play underneath her, it was just that she gave me the right type of skill sets that I needed for the raw talent that I already had. And it grew me in ways, just working with, you know, teammates, on the court, workouts, all that stuff that I know, Goody, of what it takes to really be an athlete. And so that's the thing about Baylor when I got there, was that it was a whole learning experience. And for it to end up in a way where I was actually drafted in the first round of the WNBA, you couldn't tell me that kid that picked up a basketball in the sixth grade, I couldn't even see that far of where this game was really going to take me.
And on that one, you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. I got my girl here on the show, Danielle Fontenot. You know, and I wasn't trying to rhyme like that, but it's just like that. But I can tell you, that's just a great, great story. Kim Mulkey is timeless. I watched her play. I watched her, you know, the players that she played against and that she came up against, and then to go, you know, go into coaching mode, and then, you know, the coaches that she coached against, and even the coaches that coached her. You know, you mentioning Sonia Hogue, history right there, I'm telling you.
Yes, because that was her coach. So it's a wild situation. She was at Louisiana Tech underneath Coach Barmore, who's at Louisiana Tech. And so Kim was associate head coach. She had played there, came on the coaching staff there, and got to associate head coach. And it's wild because I think it was a thing for her too. She was at a point where she was stretching her career as a woman coming underneath a coaching legend, and then what she had already done for the school, and then really stretching herself. So it was like, you know, we were both in that mode of I didn't know at the time, but she was stretching in her career. And as a teenager, I was stretching in mine and coming together and working together to do something with that program is, I guess, what my dad was trying to tell me, to go to a school where I could bring about change. So it's not always going to the school where, you know, a kid, I was like, I want to go to the one that had the best record, all the best players. And my dad was like, well, don't you want to go somewhere where maybe they're not the best and you could be the one to help bring some change about? And so at 19, I didn't get that concept, but I'm glad that he could have that foresight and see that my name would always be remembered there. So now at Baylor, I'm one of the first, you know, WNBA players alongside one of my teammates that got drafted that year. And that had never happened in Baylor. So that is how I actually became a part of history there.
Fantastic story. And, you know, it's just great because, like, everything that we're talking about is like a precursor to the next question. You played in the W, played in Greece, you played in China, you played in Israel, God bless, and you played.
I did.
Talk about how basketball helped define your skills, you know, preparing you for the workforce.
It did. When I say prepared me for the world, it dumped me in there so fast. Let me tell you, it's what I'm saying, a mindset that I was in as a child, and I really do have to say child, because when I went to college, I was 17, and you have to go back and think about what you actually knew about the world at 17, and I didn't know much at all. And it was funny being drafted, because then I felt the pressure. I felt pressure of just expectations, like my family and what this meant, and it was really big, and I was shaking in my boots, like coming to Utah, living you know, somewhere else and actually getting paid for this game. It really, I knew basketball, but I did not know the business of basketball, which is why I didn't stay in the league long. It was not because of talent, it was my emotional capacity to be able to really know that I had shifted from college and now this was actually my profession. And so going overseas that first year when I went to Greece after my first season at Utah, I thought I had failed. And going overseas, where this could have been like an amazing, wonderful experience for me. The first time when I went overseas to Greece, I just felt like I had never been out of the country. I ended up there like in the middle of the night. My agent came. I mean, you know, like you have your rep from the team come pick you up, and I didn't know the language. And a lot of people don't take in that you are going over to work. You're talking about women that go to work in places where they don't speak a language. All they speak is basketball most often. And what we have to do when we go over there to play this game we love, so that we can earn money and take care of ourselves. And so at that time, I cried the whole time I was over in Greece, because I was like, oh my gosh, how did I get here? I was missing my family. I was having just a tough time adjusting, but I did adjust and it took time. And I feel like I went through that so I could actually talk to women right now that maybe did not make it in the league and feel as though they failed, because that is not what this is. The league is attempting to grow, to house all the amazing players that we have, all these first round draft picks, all these draft picks in general, to have space for that. And so now being on the other side and seeing that, I'm like, I actually got to go to places that my child mind at that time couldn't even fathom. So going to Spain, Israel, and seeing these places really blessed me. But at the time while I was in it, it was kind of tough for me initially to see what the opportunity that was in front of me, only because I was thinking that I wasn't good enough to play over there. And that's not what that was. It wasn't that at all. And I'm pretty sure you can, you know, talk to that too, Goody, about what it's like to, you know, have to play somewhere else, because you played somewhere else before there was even a WNBA. And that's why I rock with you, because you are a trailblazer. you're the one that before there was WNBA, when there was ABL, when there was nothing, you were still balling and paved the way for people like me to be able to have a place to play here in their own, on their own, like in their own backyard. So I appreciate you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate the love. You know, I'll take all the love I could absolutely get. Yeah, definitely. There was no other options, you know, for a couple of years, probably about 4 years before, you know, the ABL and the WNBA came along. So, you know, I really loved the places that I went, you know, and I played in Brazil for 7 years. Absolutely fantastic. You know, and to get to stay in one country for such a long period of time, I did play in Barcelona, Spain.
You did? Spain was dope. Like, once I really found, I had to get past the fear of being out of my element. Like, people don't know, like, to go over to another country and work when you don't know nobody and you're by yourself at such a young age, it could be jarring to be that young by myself. Like, I'm, you know, just made 21, something like that, and I'm in a different country, really taking care of myself, like for real taking care of myself, and then playing this game, you know. And I'm looking back now, I'm like, what an opportunity and how amazing for me to experience these beautiful countries and actually go over there and play basketball. They paying me to play basketball, and so that's what I'm saying. Like, it was just a real, once I got past, like, you know, the newness of it, and it was different for me, and I embraced it, and I the people I met, the teammates over there, the friendships that I made, like teammates right now over in Spain, Portugal, that I could hit up, that check in with me, and that now are doing other things. Is those things right there that give significance to the journey behind this round ball that we bounce.
Absolutely, learn your strength and everything. So, you know, last question. You guys had an absolutely amazing year. Like, this was fantastic. So, to walk into something like that had to be like really mind blowing for you at times. Talk about this amazing year with the Aces and you know, finding your lane after basketball.
Finding a lane, I love that, because, you know, when we think lane, you know, when you have an open lane, you gonna go, look, Goody, I know when you saw an open lane, baby, you was gonna take it, okay? Like, don't give me an inch. I'm going in, I'm gonna create something. And that's what it's like here. It's I feel like a huge sense of gratitude to come back to a place where I thought, you know, I had drowned in a little bit as far as the league and, like I said, knowing the game, but not knowing the business of this league and all of that, and learning as I was growing. So coming back here to actually work for the franchise that I got drafted to, like, that stuff, that's wild to me. And not only that, to be co-workers with my former vets. So I'm on here talking to one of my vets, Goody, Miss Adrian Goodson herself. Then I work with Natalie Williams, who's also one of our former teammates, and Jennifer Azy. So you have the general manager and the chief executive business operations with Jennifer Azy for the Aces. And that is a special thing. It really is, that these women, including yourself, that I came in as a rookie to see y'all bad women. And I'm talking about ballers, right? And to come back now, I'm like, it just does my heart so good. The Aces had an amazing season. And the reason why I really lean into doing this role well, because it's bigger than me. And I see that with me working in the community to help bring awareness to this game and these women that are on the court, these I mean, like, nobody don't look like, after this season, back-to-back champions. But you know what I saw as a player at the end when we celebrated it? And things were done. I saw Kia Stokes, Chelsea Gray, Asia Wilson, and several others bandaged up from foot, hands, elbows, back, everything. And you think about, like, yeah, we champions. And I'm like, look at how many of them are wrapped up now, with certain injuries that you had to play through that entire time. And that's a true testament to a champion, because you're going to have some bumps, some bruises, and some breaks as a champion, because that means you was in the fight of your life. So being over here, working in the community, bringing exposure, bringing, you know, donation dollars to help out for things in the community with these children who want to play sports, leaning to that type of self-expression by playing a game that is, that teaches you so much more than just how to shoot, you know? So working with the Aces on this side has been a true dream come true. Because I was already doing things with like community work and really wanting to help women and to help young girls. And so to have that opportunity to come here and to do that for the same franchise that I played for, you know, that's a God thing. Because I can't complete circles like that. That's a full circle moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't even imagine, you know, sometimes things happen to you in your lifetime that you just cannot put words on. Only a Hallmark can explain what's here.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. And so you're in it. You guys are obviously in it to win it. You know, I'm glad to be an extension of that, a part of that. And, you know, I'm sure that next year, I you know, just being a part of coming back every single year, the first year where it was like 15 of us.
We came individually, Goody. We came in like 4 by 4. And let me tell you real quick, because I know I got to tell you something that moved me about you. All right. So look, as my vet, you know, when I got there, you know, for y'all listening, Goody, y'all see how wonderfully kind that this woman is. She was always kind, but that don't mean that she still fooled with you. Y'all hear that accent? That mean that this woman for real was about her business. And what was so dope about you is that I knew that, look, you was a vet, don't come in here playing. But at the same time, I could tell how much you cared. Like, it was just little things that you did and said that I could just see that even though I was young, I was like, this woman really care, you know, just that we good. But she also take this game, you know, seriously. And so the alumni thing, I saw you shed tears. And with seeing your face on this poster, and it moved me, because I realized the same thing that you don't, it's like it hits you when you see this and you see how far you've taken this. And so with this alumni initiative, and where we were able to reconnect, and I got to see you, hug you, tell you how much I appreciated, like 19-year-old Danielle appreciated you, you know, or 21-year-old Danielle appreciated you when I came there to Utah. And for me to see the emotion you had during alumni weekend, when it was just 4 of us due to COVID, getting up to like 44 of us, I believe this last time, and maybe even more, but how it's continued to grow. And that's not a league initiative. That's an ACES thing that Nikki Fargus and Mark Davis worked together to put. And it's because you have to reach into the women that played this game and helps carry it forward and show them how much they're appreciated. So for me to see the emotion within you about just simply just having your face on a poster here at the ACES that was handed out at the game, I was just like, you should get those flowers all the time. And that's why when you said, D, we gonna do a podcast, I'm like, I'm showing up. And because of what you've done for this game, what you continue to do for this game, and how you show up to help, I'm grateful for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Don't get me all welled up and everything like that.
So y'all know that this Gangsta Goody, baby, got this heart out of this world. And that's what's so dope to me, that y'all can hear this, like this, that voice that immediately lets you know where she's from. Y'all know where she's from. As soon as y'all hear Goody with this accent, she's that type of woman that you don't play with. But at the same time, your heart is amazing. And it just is. It just is. And for me to be able to see it and to give you a hug and to be like, man, thank you so much. That's a gratitude that you really, I don't know, it's hard to put into words. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think that the rest, everybody else will, have a testimony as well in regards to that, and we're going to take it out of here with you on this next one, because you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. I got my girl Danielle Fontenot on here on the show, showing out, giving up stories, putting out little nuggets, and sharing in a couple of experiences that we had as players. But now we are grown. So is
there grown? Come on, real grown, goody.
Is there anything, all right, you want to put out there? Events, how to contact you as a fan or for business?
For business, absolutely. I can be reached for business wise. My own personal thing that I do with for Inner Work, which is helping with women and young girls that are coming up through basketball, dealing with emotional things, you can reach me at Danny@theinnerwork.com, and that's Danie at theinnerwork.com, and work is spelled with an E, so W-E-R-K. And also my Instagram, I'm on there too with The Inner Work, spelled the same way. And for anything with ACEs, it is dfontenot@theacesfoundation.com. And so if you're listening, you're in the area or in Nevada and want to connect, you have some funds that you want to donate to the foundation, holla at me. Or if there's something that a nonprofit organization that's interested in doing some wonderful things with youth sports, that is one of our pillars. We'd love to lean in with that. So yeah, hit me up. And Goody, look, we got more things to definitely talk about, because as you as a pioneer in this this league and what you've done, and now that we're on the backside of this thing, there's a lot of wonderful things that we can partner to do for the alum and for current players to make sure that they have a space to come and thrive in whenever the game is done. So we got some stuff we're gonna work on.
That's absolutely fantastic. And like I said, you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. Just finished up with this nice little pod, little quick hitter, and what a wonderful, wonderful person to have on here, Danielle Fontenot, my teammate from Utah. And download us, listen to us, follow us, on Spotify and on the gram. I'm on the gram, Adrian Goodson. Facebook, Adrian Goodson, on Spotify, WNBA State of Mind, but you can still find me there, Adrian Goodson. And all I'm going to say, like I normally say, it's Sammy Sosa. Peace out. I love you.
Peace out.